Welcome to Marriage with Joy, which is the most open discussion on the internet about the positive, purposeful, powerful, pleasant aspects of living in harmony with matrimony. Marriage with Joy unabashedly discusses the most interesting questions raised by listeners. Our informed and informative panel addresses issues with thought, wit, and aplomb. Voted best of the web, 2 years running. Good day, beautiful, bountiful, beloved, immortal beings, and good-looking people. You're good-looking. So we're looking for and finding the good. We found good in abundance because you've tuned in consciously and conscientiously to Marriage with Joy, the best show in the entire internet about marriage and joy together, because they go hand in glove. They are really part and parcel of the same understanding of life. And we talk about marriage with joy. And today's topic is timely, very personal. And I believe that each one of the people here, certainly I know Diane, and I believe Maura as well, have experienced this process of what we call spousal support in time of need. Now, when people think of marriage, they think of, well, I don't know what they think of. However, most of the time, the words that people use are, well, it's complicated, it's complex, you got to work with it and build, and okay, all true. However, they neglect to mention that the path oftentimes, even though it's winding and moving, oftentimes gets easier as time goes by and more trust is built into the relationship. The idea of joy is oftentimes thought about like this. Yay, yippee, wonderful, let's go, rah, rah, sis, boom, bah. And yet joy is oftentimes very quiet, very deliberate, very powerful, because it's an internal expression of what is outward. Outward is more excitement. Joy is more enthusiasm, the inner being. And when you put these two together, what happens is that spouse, we'll have to look up how that name came about one day. Okay. We got mouse. We got louse. I don't know why I mentioned louse. They have spouse. Okay. So no matter what happens in the course of a lifetime, people, especially in a relationship or marriage, want to arrive at a point that we call deep, knowledgeable trust. And knowledgeable trust means that you don't even have to think about it. I think those are the four levels in Maslow and such, where you become the unconscious competent, that you know for a fact, not believe, you know for a fact that no matter what happens in the course of your life, your spouse is there to help you. It's just simple. Now, in the environment we're going to be talking about mostly today, it has to do with physical issues. So I'll just give a brief introduction, and then we'll go right to wonderful Diane, fabulous Maura, and hopefully we'll be welcoming Lori. So just a week ago, actually, I had finished an operation that I went into the hospital. I was in there for 9 days, where a procedure was done, actually two procedures were done on me to open up my heart using stents. And so putting in a stent in a heart in today's America is regular. It's like going to the dentist and getting your teeth cleaned. It's so basic. Putting in two stents in the same area artery is much more complex and yet also not that irregular, as it were. However, in my particular situation, I went in because I was feeling some chest pains and a little bit of issues. And I'm a guy. And I swim an hour and a half while it's stopping. So I think it's not that bad. I go in, the doctor says, well, there's something here. We'll do tests, et cetera, et cetera. I'll make the story short. 97% blockage in two arteries. That's a lot. In other words, if I kept going for another, who knows, days, weeks, we might not be doing the podcast today. All right, so we didn't want to do that. The podcast is that important to life. So doctor said, we need to do this procedure. One doctor tried it in one hospital. He says, sorry, Mr. Shaw, this is too complex. I got to send you to another hospital. Send me to another hospital. And that particular surgeon, cardiologist, is much more skilled in these, what they call tricky procedures. And he comes to my room, tells me what he's going to do. And he says, you ready to go? Because I have a room open. I said, I'm ready. Let's go. I needed to get fixed. It was really hurting me. Sure enough, an hour and a half, 2 hours later, put me in the recovery room. And then it's a process of 7 hours of being on your back, not moving. And thank God, over the course of the next few days, that got me to the point where, okay, you can go home. And now I'm in home health therapy. My point of all of this has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with my wife and my family, my son, friends, community. They're extensions of my wife. The spouse, in this case, husband, wife, in the case of Diana, it's going to be, and Mara will be wife, husband, doesn't matter. It's the ability to know for certainty that, yes, no matter what happens, there is someone there who will do everything and anything to make sure that what needs to be done will be done. That's all. When that happens, that mental process relieves tension. It dissipates every fear or worry that could possibly be involved. Again, I'm speaking for myself. I presume it's true for other people. That can be associated with being in the hospital, tricky operations, all kinds of stuff. Because you never know, right? Stuff happens. Especially when they tell you you have 90%, 97% blockage. You know, it's okay. My wife was there every moment, not necessarily in the hospital. She didn't have to be. But she was there making me food, making things, coordinating all the things that need to be done. So the topic today is, in fact, this: spousal support in time of need. And in my particular case, it's the second time in our marriage. We're married 47 years. 21 years ago, I had a major situation, standing up in the morning, completely healthy and hearty, able to leave tall buildings in a single bound. And in the evening, I'm in the hospital, totally, completely paralyzed from my neck down. Can only communicate by blinking my eyes. That was a different chapter. And that took years. So I knew for a fact that this, no matter what it was going to be, couldn't equal that. However, again, the ability to know higher level than believe makes it so that there is no worry, there is no fear. And those aspects of living in a environment that is open, loving, caring in every possible way made it so that I'm here today speaking with you, loving it. And as Diane asked me, wait a minute, are you okay to do this? I need this. I need it to express my hakarat hatov, my true thanks to my wife, even though she may not be listening, and to everybody here, what it means to be a blessing in one's life. My wife was a blessing. Blessing means being of service. I try to live that way. And it's different than being blessed, E-D. Being blessed means you have a lot. You have family, you have friends, you have community, you have work that you care about, you're able to give charity, all kinds of things. That's to be blessed. The higher level is to be a blessing, to be a conduit of goodness in the world. So with that, I would like to turn over to our leadoff batter, as always, in the World Series of Life. Wonderful, amazing, up in the northwest corner of America, fabulous Diane Medved, Dr. Diane Medved. And I just want to make a PS first, and we'll talk about it later. I am completely, totally amazed, awestruck by the level of service that I received from everybody in the two different hospitals that I was in. It's truly humbling and life-affirming. So with that, wonderful Diane, would you please weigh in on this, not just idea, this reality of spousal support in a time of need, because you've been there.
Yes, I have. My husband went through cancer and is still suffering side effects that crop up in abundance, unfortunately, adding to other things unexpectedly. And I mean, for me, when that was happening, it wasn't a question of what to do. It was just, I'm going to be there. I mean, that's what marriage is. If you are not feeling that if your spouse were to get ill and you would not be there, you need to work on your marriage. Because that feeling of certainty, of written in stone, written in cement, trust and being there is reciprocal, and that's what marriage is. And while you're lucky, Barry, to have Naomi to be your nurse, two chapters in your life, everyone's going to have something. And I have to say that while she was able to take off your mind the fear, I have to say that she received some of that fear, and that she then becomes the recipient of some of what is going on with you, because as a real couple, as a marriage, you are basically the same unit. You're not exactly the same person, but you're definitely a special unit that is unique in the world, unique in the spiritual and physical world. And it is this reciprocal, unique, special certainty that lets you go forward into, frankly, the unknown. When you get to a hospital, you don't really know what's going to happen. And when you come out of a hospital, you know there's going to be some support and work, but you don't know what's really going to happen, as I guess every day we don't. I mean, we wake up grateful to have the opportunity to be someone's spouse, to be someone's caregiver, to be someone's Azer Kenigdo, helpmate opposite them. And it's a gift, it's a blessing, because there are so many people who don't have that, who have to feel that they're in free fall when something is happening. And to have that behind you all the time is the most wonderful thing that you can have in life. So, I mean, I don't know what I'm supposed to say, because it's
You
just
said it.
a given. When you get married, you put yourself in that place where you vow that you will be that support for the other person when it comes to health, when it comes to career, when it comes to childbearing and child rearing, when it comes to anything that God throws at you from any direction. That's what marriage is. And it has to be deep enough so that you are never thinking that, oh, gee, I can't stand the way she's yelling at me. I can't stand the way he's talking to me. I'm not going to let him do that to me. That you see that there is always a channel between you, and that you can always solve any problem because you both believe the same thing. That is, that you're on the same team. You are this unique unit, and that it will be until you're both dead.
Well, on that high, cheery note, I want to unpack a few things that you did mention. And I didn't think of it until you mentioned it, Diane. And I'm remiss. How should we say it? So, yes, because my wonderful wife, Naomi, was there, and I had no doubt about it, that relieved the worry and fear that I had. And yet I didn't recognize, and I think I was able to articulate when she came to visit me the first day, and sorry, the second day in the hospital, that I didn't want her to have extra fear and worry. So I did everything I could to alleviate that, and I was me. So I, just telling how cheery and how positive I was and such like that. But you raise a very good point. I want to make mention of something. Now, people who are watching this can see. So I'm what they call a seasoned citizen. I'm 76 years of age chronologically. And there were a number of people in again, two different hospitals. And when they move you, they always ask you questions. Tell me about your home situation. Is there somebody in your home? What's your house look like, et cetera, et cetera. And I told them, thank God, wife, 47 years, people's eyes opened up, they're amazed. And I asked, apparently there are many people, the overwhelming percentage, so said the people that were interviewing me, don't have someone to go home to. You hear that? Their home environment is not conducive to a great way of healing. And do you have some? You need people. Again, thank God, what a country. There is something called home health care. And people will actually call you up. We got several phone calls. Thank God. My son Ezra was right there. He also stepped up to the plate. He was absolutely amazing, took charge of everything. So again, relieved a lot of pressure and fear from my wife. It was really something special. The point is that they knew that we had, and they told me, not everybody's, we got already calls from three different agencies that are assigned to you when they know you're in the hospital and you've been discharged. What do you need? How can we help you? Not, you know, if I told them, well, thank God we have what we need because we have family. He said, well, that's wonderful. And one of the people said, there were three, not everybody has that, Mr. Shore. It touched me deeply. And I think it's real. Mm-hmm. I'm 76. Okay, so it may be also for people in their 50s and 60s, 40s even. Who knows? Again, a lot of people are not married today. So I wanted to mention that. I think it was something that you said. I would like to say one other piece here, because you said, if in fact you're not ready to live up to your vows and step up with that, then you need to work on your marriage. I would like to just shift a little bit into perspective and say, I think you need to work on yourself.
That's your marriage.
I know they're compatible. You met them both. You need to work on yourself. Are you enough of a giver? Because the real definition of what marriage is about is that I'm a giver, not a taker. Now, as I think we've talked about it before, there are several levels in this idea, in this world of giving. The higher world of giving is called willingly giving, which means you're giving without expecting anything in return. Oh, I'm doing this for you, and I'm without even articulating, I'm expecting you're gonna do that for me. That's not how we enter into marriage and how we grow in marriage. I think you'd agree. We want to get to the point where we are willing givers and therefore gracious recipients. Mm-hmm. I can accept the fact that my wife is completely devoted to making sure that I am going to be healed. I can accept it. Not everybody can accept willingly receive that, because that's somehow overwhelming to a lot of people. Okay, thank God we've been together a long time. We've been building on it. So I just want to make mention, if you're not yet in a place where you feel that ability, you need to work on yourself and say, you know, I'm here to grow. I want to grow, because that's what situations of, we'll call it conflict in the sense that, okay, there's been an accident, all kinds of sickness, because it happens. It's the nature of life. And if it's not you, by the way, immediate spouse, it's someone very close. Mm-hmm. So I'll just mention one thing, and I'll ask Maura to speak. I messed up on something. What did I mess up on? So I sent out a group text to my sister. I have two sisters. To my younger sister, and then my younger sister, and to my sister-in-law and her husband, because we're very close to them. And I said, hey, everybody, I'm going to the hospital, and this is what's happening. They're going to put stents in, da-da-da-da. Well, I got phone calls from my sister, who was a year and a half younger than me. What are you doing? You don't send out a text. What's the matter with you? It was great. It was a call of love. Even if, I mean, in other words, not spousal, it's sister. It's a, what do they call, not spouse?
Sibling. Sibling?
That's it, the other S word. I got a sibling call. I mean, because it rises almost to the same level. I mean, let's be blunt. Siblings not always have that relationship. I'm blessed that I do. You want to have that relationship with siblings, that they're support in time of need, right? So I got the sibling call. What's the matter with you? Now, I'm not laughing. I'm laughing now. I was sheepish when she called, and she and my sister Lorraine and Barbara go on the phone, and he said, you know, you don't do that, even though it's just the family. I needed to call. Okay, so that I'm mentioning that this, the beauty of this world of relationships, which is what marriage is about, the ultimate marriage, I guess, could be siblings too, and to be able to work with the people you love, because you love them. I mean, this, we're now talking, we're getting to the L word. I love the L word. And love stands for living on vibrant energy. That's what we all want, right? Who doesn't want that vibrational plane that's always there, that's filled with joy and happiness and peace? So Maura, please tell us, I believe you had at least one incident, if not two, with Jimmy.
True. It was heart related issues that started with some kind of an awful virus, and the hospital couldn't figure out what was wrong with him. But I would say on and off, it probably went on for about 4 years. And every day is a new day, thank God. Every day is a day we are grateful for. But when you wrote this, spousal support in time of need, and here we are talking about marriage. Diane mentioned vows. As soon as you said that, and I'm thinking marriage, when people get married, what are the old vows? We made ours in 1981, but it was in sickness and in health. What is it? How does it go? Good times and bad, sickness and health, until death.
We're richer and poorer.
Yes. Okay. So think about that. And most people, or many, get married and they're expecting either this is my ticket out, my ticket in, my ticket up, my ticket to this beautiful person I love. And all they're seeing in many cases are the dreams and aspirations of the good, not the challenge. And I'm so happy we have this podcast, because marriage is something that not as many people as could enjoy it are enjoying it. Many people never get married. There are young people today that don't even think of it as an option. And many people that are alone, just as you said, Barry, you come out of the hospital, not you in particular, but many, and they are alone. The thing about illness, and we've experienced it on both sides. Jimmy had this ongoing issue with his heart, different. It was an electrical issue. He was lying on the couch for what seemed like 2 years or so, and he was on so many medications. It was affecting his memory. We live in a three-story townhome. He could barely get up one step at a time, and it was kind of medically one step forward, two steps back. But in that, it was a very interesting dynamic, and we had it both ways, because also several years ago, I had gotten into a car crash, and someone not paying attention just decided they were going to come right in front of me, crash the car, and I ended up with a concussion that affected me. And then we had another time where I broke my ankle, and again, three-story townhome with me and a broken ankle. So both of us, after many years of marriage, and ups, you know, everybody has everything going on in marriage, this would have been the first time of our lives that we were both individually challenged by health. And I want to give you, for whatever it's worth, two perspectives. When I was growing up, was traumatized by death. We had, when I was a young child, I had so many deaths that I was literally traumatized by it. So if you could think of someone being sick, anything, the hospitals, what is a doctor going to say, when things would happen automatically, it would put me into that place of, oh dear. And for the longest time, doctors could not figure out how to help Jimmy. But he had gone in for maybe 8 procedures, some of them easy, some of them longer, some successful, some last year one was not. Then thank God we had another opportunity. But in all of those times, I have to tell you, and hopefully this is going to mean something to a listener or two, me being spouse one, petrified all my life of death. It was like the specter of death always around me. And I'm looking at my husband who is struggling on so many levels. Now, I was with him in the hospital. He was there for several days. I don't even like talking about what it was, but he had said to me on several occasions, Maura, and it surprised me. And he said, Maura, you sat across from me looking at me in the hospital room. And he said, all I could see in you was peace. And he said, that peace gave me such a sense of rest and confidence. He said, because he couldn't breathe. And there were several things going on. Now, I had no idea that that's what I appeared as to him. Fortunately, I have good friends that are always in prayer. And I really was spending my time doing that. The interesting thing for me is that in this marital situation, going through probably one of the most challenging personal situations for myself, not only seeing my husband at risk, but also thinking, oh, what am I looking at? The specter here. It caused me to go through a place I didn't want to go through several times. I'll tell you, I don't know how many years I wouldn't sleep at night because I'm touching Jimmy to make sure the heart is working, he's breathing, etc. But in that, I really believe it did a work in me. You know, a lot of times we have difficulties in life, we try running away from them. Well, there was no running away from this. That would never happen. But in the process of being married to someone who is going through these trepidation trials, I had to endure and get stronger in the midst of it. Barry, you mentioned the word, it's not that you believe, it's that you know. And I think I had my own opportunity to practice being that person there for Jimmy in faith and in calm that I was not even aware of, that gave him something he needed. And he was so grateful to me for that and remains as such. But I want to give you the flip side of a marriage where I was the one. I'll use the time when I had the concussion. There were times I couldn't find words. I never knew the extent to which my mind was operating until I was losing a lot of it. And there would be times I'd see something in front of me and I couldn't remember the word, or I couldn't remember where my conversation was going, or I couldn't take more than one concept and put them together as I normally would. So that was a very interesting thing. And he was always, I would say, very carefully watching over me, never making an issue of anything, but being that same kind of a calm, calm companion. This was the biggest for me, though, and which I would say is more personal. Now, and again, I hope this means something to someone, especially where people may be listening today and thinking, oh, you know, maybe I've never seen a good marriage. I don't know if I'm up for it. I don't know if I had any good role modeling. But when I was younger, I always took care of myself. My immediate parents were kind of, they looked good, but they were not there always emotionally in other ways. So I did not have support, and I really did not have a nurturing environment. I came to see, after being married over 40 years, that I had a man in my life who was, I could get up and down the steps, usually on my butt. You know, I learned how to do it. My arms are very strong. But when I would every day go and take a shower, I had Jimmy. Well, I had my, you know, my leg was up in a cast. He would take me into the shower, hold me. He would I don't say hose me down, but he had a way of taking care of me. And I'm telling you, I wanted to cry. See, I could do it now. I did not have that as a young person. And I'm thinking, this is amazing. I have such a gentleman. He watches everything I do. Never made a big deal out of it, but it was always there. And it was interesting. This is why I say, oh, it's for somebody. I felt like, I'm sorry, I'm getting so emotional. I felt like I had a healing in me for something lacking. And it came through marriage. Isn't that something? So imagine, so look at that. So both of us have been through so much. And I could say this as a topper, which is a very positive thing. We go into marriage, maybe we're very one-dimensional. Maybe we just think this person is really cute, good-looking, whatever. Rich, we want to get married. But the longer we are married and the more we share time together, the good times and the bad, there are additional dimensions to a life we never knew existed, and we press through and we learn, we can grow and become bigger people than we ever thought we could be. We might have come out of circumstances that were lacking. I learned this even with my daughter. I was a late in life mother at 34. I don't think it's late in life as much now. I had so much lack, and I remember thinking, I'm so not ready. But in the process, I learned what I didn't have, and I grew. And as a result of it, I'm a much better, stronger person, and maybe a full-bodied person as a wife, as a mother, than I would have been had I not gone through it. But I say all that for those people that maybe are even listening tonight, and they're maybe in a place where they're in a struggle and they want to run away. They're afraid, oh, I didn't sign up for this. Let me get out of this. Do you know there is something to be said for enduring and going through and kind of coming through little and sometimes big fires in life? It refines us. It makes our hearts grow, and it makes us grow better together. So those are my words for whatever they are meaning.
So I'm appreciative of both you, Diane, and Maura, for being able to express emotionally what we're talking about. It's wonderful, whether it's the smile or tears and such. I want to make mention to everybody that when Maura talks about Jimmy, Jimmy's not a frail little guy. He's a big guy. He plays basketball. He's very capable of all kinds of stuff. And when you talk, this image that you had of him picking you up and hosing you down.
Hosing.
And it's holding the, how should we call it, the less nurtured baby self of you.
Yes.
As you did said, in that moment, everything that when you were your 3 to 6 or 10 came and coalesced and say, wait a minute, I'm not there anymore. I'm in the arms of my beloved. Again, even to use those words, my beloved. Mm-hmm. The good Lord, the famous statue, the Pietà. You know the Pietà?
Yes.
Okay, I mean, you know. Being held by the mother. I mean, it's such a beautiful thing. That is the spouse in the time of need. Mm-hmm. The ability to be enwrapped and therefore in rapture, to use a biblical term, to be in rapture because there is a challenge that both of you are enduring from different perspectives. I also appreciate much that you said about this, that Jimmy would say to you, you're giving me such calm, and yet you had no idea.
I was going through my own nightmare again and again and again and again, night after night after night. In fact, he got home from one of the hospitals. I looked at myself in the mirror. I thought, like, I look like I need a hospital. But there I was for him, but as hard as it was, he had the physical side. I had the emotional component. But I am so amazed that having gone through that, we're at yet another level of love and companionship and trust. When you said you just know, I remember saying to Jimmy, we had met when we were 19, and I didn't even want to get married because I didn't think it was such a great thing, you know, until I met Jimmy, first time ever. And which is interesting. And I wrote him a note, maybe on his birthday, 6 months later. And I never forgot this. I said, Jimmy, I didn't know it was possible to know someone and to know they had so many good qualities that I didn't even know existed. So that would have been me writing to him maybe at age 20. Now we're 67. And I even said to him the other night, I said, you know, Jimmy, I can't believe it. We've been together for so long. There's so many aspects of you that I appreciate, but it's by going through life and going through the changes of it and the challenges of it that we end up seeing other aspects of people that we could grow to appreciate and love even more. It's almost like the love grows, I want to say like a diamond. You know, like you look at all the facets of a diamond, but when you first meet somebody, maybe they only have 2 or 3 things you're seeing, but then you see all these little carve outs and you see the way the light goes through it. And you're like, I never noticed that about this person. And I wouldn't have known it had we not gone through challenges.
So the ability to, as you say, not just confront a challenge and not to embrace it, because oftentimes challenges are really that, really challenges. However, if one can come to recognize that obstacles, challenges are in fact those processes that are most beneficial in life. Again, that's a mindset. And I'm going to make the statement now. For me, being married now, again, almost half a century, I was looking for, when I wanted to get married, I was looking for someone that would approach life with this understanding that no matter what happens, we will be together. Because the me and the we, you know, M and E, and the M is just a W turned upside down, right? You want to go from the me to the we. The ability to move outside of the self to create a relationship with some other self that's not a sibling. See, siblings, we all know, you can't choose your siblings. Okay, can't even choose your parents. You may have in, you know, in heaven and say, okay, come down and be with them and such. However, the beauty, the genius of marriage is that it is done out of choice, isn't it?
Every day.
I was just continually, right?
And I want to add that I have a lot of sympathy for people. We three happen to be married to wonderful people who are committed and can express their love and can receive love. And not everyone is in such a good situation. And I have sympathy and caring for those people who feel that they're in an uphill battle, that they try and talk to their spouse who doesn't reciprocate and doesn't respond. And when you feel like you're the only one in the marriage, it's really difficult. And our culture says after a while, you just give up. And maybe some people have to do that if they have a partner who's not willing to be all in. And we're singing the praises of something that we're fortunate to have. But really, that is not always the case. And I think that it's really important to analyze for in your own relationship, if you're the giver or only the giver, if you're a taker, if there is a way that maybe you can work with the other person to be more expressive about what you need or what they can give or what you can give. I think going to your partner and saying, you know, I feel kind of alone and I want to give more to this relationship. I want to give more to you. How can I bring us together closer? I think that's the kind of conversation that you need to have all the time, whether or not you're happy. And I'm so fortunate. My husband every day is almost obnoxious with, I appreciate you. I'm so lucky to have you. You know, not that many people get that. And I think that we need to start cultivating it in our relationships if we don't have it. And we need to look at the other person and see the kind of background they come from so that you can be understanding more. What you were saying was so moving and so true. And I had been nearly in tears before when Barry was talking about Naomi serving him. And it's really a personal thing when you give everything to your partner.
Yes. It is. Barry, we never know what's going to happen when you turn this TV show on.
This is so good. This is so real.
But
mention of something, Diane, you just said. I think it's William James. You'll correct me if I'm off on this. That he said the greatest need in the human being is to be appreciated.
And to be respected. I have to say, and to be respected.
Yes, thank you. So William James was the 19th century. You know, some people call him the father of psychology. Doesn't matter what title. We're talking about the ability to understand life in any time in the history of the world. The relationship between people, especially two people, what we call in this holy atmosphere, holy matrimony. And holy means separate, set aside, special relationship. We talked about the word vows. When you talk about the ability to tell the person that you care about the almost simple words, "Did I tell you today how much I appreciate you?" And mean it, because you know, why not? He or she is contributing to your life and vice versa. I'm going to tell you how much I appreciate you. Doing that on a regular basis, if not daily, is it's planting seeds. It's the water on the rock, right? Mm-hmm. No matter who the other person is, at some point it comes in. I want to also make mention of something you said, Mara, about in life when you were growing up, that you were traumatized by death and you saw death around you regularly, the specter of death and such. Almost by definition, when anybody goes into a hospital for something more than a toothache, you know, the reality is things happen. Mm-hmm. I could make mention, actually I will just now, I won't mention the names, a friend of Diane's and mine, who went into the hospital for a procedure, and the procedure went wrong, and the administering of the drugs went wrong, and she came out as a vegetable. And stuff happens. I mean, the specter of that, it traumatizes me. Even talking about it makes me feel, I tingle because I get a little bit afraid. I don't want that. Okay, thank God I'm here now. We're all talking, and we are. I think you're so correct, Diane, and it's important that we speak to the, thank God, many thousands of people listening who may not have the same kind of relationship with their spouse that we are privileged to have. And it is a privilege. Let's be blunt. Part of it is seeing it as a privilege. Mm-hmm. I'm privileged to be with this person that really loves me. And she proves it on a regular basis. You know, sometimes she does it with a little bit of an extra, okay. I know that was only because care. I have diabetes also. I've had diabetes. It's been raging for years, but I never bothered with it. Now I have it. I have to take insulin and such. And the doctors told me, well, by the way, Mr. Shore, diabetes contributes to heart failure. Okay, so now we're working consciously and conscientiously with portions and carbs and all kinds of stuff. And my wife and my son are drill sergeants. My days, and I was always good at what I ate, I thought, and I just need to get better. The point is, why are they doing it? Not because they don't like me, on the contrary, right? Because they care. The ability for people to show that they care, is there anything more fun in life? I mean, really fun. You know, to be able to look back and say, you know, Maura, remember when you were going up the stairs on your butt? Okay, we can laugh at it now. Maybe we were laughing then in the sense that, well, look at this. We got a 3-story townhouse for me to get up to there just to get to the bathroom. No, the bathroom's probably in the first floor. So, to get to the bedroom side, you know, you're going to go up on your butt. Okay, I'm a 4-year-old again. Not even, I guess 2-year-olds do it on their butt. Whatever. The point is that the caring, the interplay with a human being, how much more fun can life be? And like you say, Diane, the ability to reach out, say to somebody, I want to be the best I can for you. What can I do? Tell me. Okay, instead of tickling you twice a day, can I tick you 3 times? Tell me what you want. Because that communication, which by the way, does take time. I mean, I'm telling you from my perspective, it does take time to be able to break through the specter of death, the reality of, well, maybe my parents didn't model what I wanted. People have been through, I mean, everybody has stories. If you didn't have a story, you wouldn't be a human being. Okay, letting the guard down, opening up the armor, putting it away, being vulnerable. Woo! Talk about excitement. So Diane, we only have a couple more minutes. Let's talk about being vulnerable. Because this is your world. You deal with people regularly.
Yeah, and people don't want to be vulnerable. That's a really tough thing to be. And most people practice in the outer world not being vulnerable because it's a sign of weakness. And it's a competitive world, and people are going to fill whatever gap that you show that you're vulnerable in. But marriage should be seen as the place where being vulnerable is an advantage, not a disadvantage. So people who can't say whatever it is, anything, to outsiders, people who are not in the marriage, should feel that that's the one place that they can let it all down, that embarrassing things that are aspects of their life, medical treatments that are not fun to think about, all these things, it's all just part of a whole, but it's not just the bad stuff. You have to see the whole as balanced between, yeah, the embarrassment parts, the vulnerable parts, the stuff that's not fun and difficult, but you have to at the same time not ignore all the good stuff that you get in response and all the good stuff that all the people that you may have created, maybe your children, your grandchildren, all of this is part of the reward of your marriage. And you need to look at the marriage as, yeah, the vulnerable, and look at all this other stuff that I never would have had. Look at my husband's, look at these people who never would have been born, our children, our grandchildren. We have, thank God, there's 6 grandchildren now. Our daughter Shana just had a baby on Yom Kippur, 4 weeks ago now. And we are so happy we have now 6 grandchildren who would not be in the world if he and I had not gotten married. So there is so much to appreciate and enjoy while at the same time realizing that there's the vulnerability too, and there's the caretaking and the yucky stuff that comes with it. But that is really not the vast majority of what the relationship is, especially if you intentionally bring joy to your marriage. And that's why, Barry, your podcast, our webinar, is so important for people, because you don't just say marriage, think at least marriage with joy. Mm-hmm. Joy is a big chunk of something that you can only get in marriage, a certain type of joy that is between two people who become one unit. And that is so special. So vulnerability is important. Being able to respond to those vulnerabilities, yes. But don't forget all the reward that we get when we have marriage with joy.
And we love rewards. Maura, you may have the last word.
Thank you. And I think I have something to offer here. Diane, you used the word vulnerability. And here we're talking again, spousal support in times of need. And it's not always an easy thing. I want to use the word focus. There's a gentleman I'm friendly with who we meet periodically. He's known as the happiness guy. And you know, I'm the ambassador of happiness. The man is a voracious reader, not married, but he made a very interesting remark to me last time we got together. He said, do you know, I've read more not too long ago, and it could be 10%, but it could be 20%. He said, most people in a relationship, and he was speaking about marriage, will focus on the 10% of a person they don't like, their spouse. That's all they see is the 10%. So it becomes their focus. They focus and focus and focus on the part of their spouse they don't care for. What do they do? walking away, I don't like it. He said they then proceed to go out into the marketplace. They look again, and they may find another person, not realizing they're going to go through the same wrong focus again. They may have eliminated the 10% they didn't like in the last relationship, but they found a new 20% they don't like in the new one. So if you want to think about marriage with joy, focus on the good things you have, even when going through a challenging time, because it's very easy to look at what's right in front of you as a challenge, but to be able to step back and think, what in this big sphere of a relationship and all that we have can I be grateful for? And sometimes you could be in a very tough spot, and it could be, I'm so happy we have lights on, we can pay our bills, we have a roof over our head, I'm so happy for our health, I'm so happy that I have a job to go to, the car works, food is in the refrigerator. But to focus on what we do have rather than what we don't. And that in itself helps elevate the joy. And having joy gives us so much more energy and an ability to continue to move forward in good hope and good expectation. And I would think too, every time we have the positive energy, it just expands beyond us. So those are my closing comments.
As we usually open, we talk about, remember, you're good looking because you're always looking for and finding the good in life. That's the definition of a good looking person. And I was thinking recently, you know how much I love words and such, about the idea of what a gem is. So you talked to me earlier more about a diamond and such. So what's a gem? Gem, G-E-M, stands for gratitude every moment. When you begin to look at life with the lenses through gratitude, you will find the reward. Okay, you'll be vulnerable. And the benefits that accrue to you, you said about the idea of unit, become a unit, Diane. So the beauty of the word unit is that the you comes before the I. When you focus on the other person for the good, what can I do for you? The I will always be taken care of. Oftentimes people focus on the I and they're looking at the other 10%, 20%, I don't like that. The missing tile syndrome, leave that aside. The point is that we want to have gratitude in our lives, and we integrate and utilize and leverage gratitude as much as we can in our lives. By definition, everything gets better, right? And then the result is marriage with joy. So I want to say how much I appreciate you, wonderful Dr. Diane Medved, you, fabulous Maura Sweeney. We miss Lori. And to all the people that tune in and send us notes and such like that, we're here because we want to share these magnificent, beneficial, life-enhancing, life-enforcing ideas that are happening right now. And when gratitude is your base, and many great things will happen for you. So again, what we'd like to do is do a group hug and to give a blessing. So in the count of three, remember, HUG stands for heartfelt, unlimited giving. One, two, three. And our blessing is go forth, live exuberantly, spread the seeds of joy, happiness, peace, and love. Go mad, go make a difference. Welcome to Marriage with Joy, which is the most open discussion on the internet about the positive, purposeful, powerful, pleasant aspects of living in harmony with matrimony. Marriage with Joy unabashedly discusses the most interesting questions raised by listeners. Our informed and informative panel addresses issues with thought, wit, and aplomb. Voted best of the web 2 years running.